app created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three at the races, a couple minutes in, and here we are leading into the last week of the meet. Andy Serling joins us. Andy, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What a fun weekend it was.
Where were you? Mountaineer?
Yes.
So Prairie Meadows, have a big weekend or something?
Me and Javier, I drove Javier Castellano down to Monmouth, actually, for the sapling.
You drove him to Charlestown and all the way back to the track?
Yeah, exactly. You're the best.
Yeah, well, you hate to miss the sapling, right?
Oh, sapling.
Every sapling since Alidar.
The sapling and the sorority, those are, you know, they're.
Alidar won the sapling. I believe that the sorority is the closest race that Ruffian ever had. Hot and Nasty.
Ooh. How about that?
That's right.
You're unbelievable. You're amazing.
I don't know about that, but anyway.
You pull that out.
These were big races at one time.
No, they were. It's still. I think they're still. I think it's 200,000. I think.
Toxhorse that won. What's his name? Lost Ark.
Yes.
Who's the dam? What's the name of the Karen Allen character?
Marion Ravenwood.
Half the Nest.
Marion
Ravenwood.
Yeah,
Half the Nest, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do people still think they should have run her in the Travers, by the way, or is that all
died? I guess that died down pretty quickly. Yeah.
Funny, I didn't hear anybody say after it that Ness probably would have won.
No, that evaporated like the rainwater does in the backyard after a storm.
Like everybody else in the field when Epicenter moved.
Talk about this, Andy, because, you know, on paper it felt like a competitive race with a couple of, you know, major contenders and then a couple of price considerations that, you know, that felt like they had scenarios that could work in their favor. And then he just basically demolishes the field.
Yeah, I thought he was overbet, and he wasn't. I mean, I thought he was the worst to beat. Like, everyone thought he was the worst to beat. Obviously, it was the worst to beat, but I didn't think he was worth even money, and I was wrong. He won like he should have been 2-5. Yeah, he was terrific. I mean, he's the one who stepped forward, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that ran the big race. Never, no, the others ran fine. I mean, I think that Zandon probably ran the biggest pig he's ever run. Rich Strike actually showed his Derby wasn't a ridiculous fluke, and he ran fine, ran the best fig he's ever run, and I think Cyberknife ran right around the fig he ran in the Haskell, maybe 1 point better. So, I mean, all those horses ran fine, to be honest. They just weren't as good as him and wasn't even close. And I think it's realistic to say that he has a real chance, you know, heading towards the Breeders' Cup against the older horses. He was terrific. And I'm sure it was super satisfying for Steve. I mean, to, you know, have had the frustrations of the Derby and Preakness. And I think anybody that knows anything about the game, if you put yourself in Steve's shoes, you can totally understand. You know, he felt he ran the best horse in the Derby, which he may have. I felt like he ran the best race of anybody, but not only that, you lose to a sort of crazy horse, and you're like, you know, getting in from the AEs and 80-1, et cetera, et cetera, and it's like, Jesus, what do I have to do to win a race like this? And then the Preakness debacle where, I mean, the argument could have gone both ways, though in retrospect, it's hard to argue. It was never easy to argue against people that felt he ran the best race that day. I think it was a lot closer than people would say, and early voting ran very well that day. But, I mean, in retrospect, yeah. So you leave the Preakness, and if you're Steve, you feel like I should be going to Belmont for Triple Crown. And instead, I didn't win a single race. So I'm sure it was incredibly satisfying to Jim Bandy and the Travers. I think it's always satisfying for a trainer and an owner to feel as though they have the best horse and have the horse deliver when it mattered. And he was terrific.
Steve, yesterday, you could tell, and not only was there the satisfaction given you know, what happened in the first half of the year, frankly, Andy, Epicenter had the...
Well, if he had lost it, Steve would have probably been like,
yes.
I mean, I don't know about him, but I would have got, into a dark room and just, you know,
yes.
Brooded for the rest of the meet.
Yes.
You know, I think with Jackie's Warrior, first of all, Jackie's Warrior has been overrated by a lot of people. And that's not to say he's not very good, because he is very good. But we all tend to have, or people tend to have, a lack of perspective. And listen, sometimes I disagree with the way we handled on the TV show. And that's why I end up often being the lone voice, you know, the parade rainer. Because I do respect Jackie's Warrior. He's been terrific. He always shows up, basically. But he was never running the kind of numbers that the really top sprinters in the past had run. And that makes him vulnerable. And he tied the best buyer figure he's ever run. He ran a very good race. It just was second best on Saturday.
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong. He didn't get a bad ride. He didn't do anything wrong. He just wasn't good enough on Saturday. And then Steve said as much when we interviewed him, when we talked to him for the show on Saturday, Sunday morning, they met him. I mean, the horse ran terrific. He just lost. Cody's Wish ran much better. So, I mean, that's, you know, and obviously the Clairiere thing was incredibly disappointing, because it's never fun to lose, especially in big races with horses that have a good chance to win. But it's even worse to have never had a chance.
Right.
And she obviously, you know what happened at the gate. She obviously didn't run a race. Well, Gunite ran very well, though, when he was
Jack
Christopher.
I mean,
yes, never he gives up. He just keeps running along. He's a very, very nice horse. And Jack Christopher, and I think that when the dust settles, Jack Christopher will probably finish second for a top 3-year-old, as he should. You know, he's got 2 Grade 1 wins. I don't know what his stud situation is. Does he have a deal? And is he going to be retired at the end of the year or keep running? I hope he keeps running. I imagine they're going to want to run a Breeders' Cup race. and I guess I'll figure out the sprint or the mile is a better race. But being the mile's two turns, I won't be surprised if they opt for the sprint. You know, unless Chad, you know, sort of convinces them to wait for the Naira mile. Mile, excuse me.
Well, that came up a little bit earlier with Dave Greinig, and the same decision. Dave said that he thinks it's all on the table. I mean,
does he know if he has a stud deal, if he's getting retired? Or?
That part didn't come up actually. I
have no idea.
Yeah, I can ask tomorrow. I'll ask Sid Fernando.
None of my business.
The same to go back to Cody's wish for a second. That's a horse too that is not exactly. He's never run 6 furlongs, and so
he's run well enough around two turns. I imagine he's heading towards the mile.
Yeah,
Godolphin's going to want to run in those races and want to try to enhance their stallion value. I'm afraid to say the speaker's corner. You know, the second time he chased Life is Good, he tried so hard against him, they have sort of broken his heart a little bit because he was terrible out of Del Mar.
Yeah, he had no resistance at all.
It was awful. He was terrible.
Yeah.
He got to the front, he had nothing.
Yep. He got swallowed up.
I thought that were, Malathot sort of got her act back together. It's not like she went well, but fifth, she didn't run particularly well. She wasn't terrible in the Chuvi. And as Seth said to me on Saturday night, she's just this much better than Search Results, and sort of put his hands about a neck apart.
Yeah.
And it's true, Search Results been terrific, but Malathot's just been that much better. Search had every chance to beat her on Saturday, and she just couldn't hold her off. And the same as the Oaks. So a good horse. Who knows? She could win in Keeneland, but Malathot just got her, again. And a credit to Todd. Todd's had a terrific meet.
Yes, he has.
He really has.
Yeah, we talked to him last week.
He's had good 2-year-olds. So a lot of horses run well. And obviously Nest, Epicenter is a big star. I mean, the stars of the meet were Epicenter. Epicenter and Nest. The Life is Good, but, both of those, the 3-year-olds winning 2 races. Saturday was a fun day,
big time. What touch on the turf?
I'll tell you the horse that I'd like to own going forward. Mirror Mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I was talking. We didn't have that much time to talk on TV. So Jonathan and I posted, were talking about the race amongst ourselves in the set, and I was saying to him, that it was really a race where you wouldn't be shocked with any horse that won or hit the board. And I said a horse that I regretted in retrospect not putting in my top 3 was Mirror Mission. Not because I would have bet him, but because, or maybe even 4th, because he had figs that were fast enough to compete.
Very much.
It's just he had never run anywhere close to a mile and a half. So it was hard to have confidence he could do it. But the fact that he was 20-1, you could bet a few dollars on him to take a shot. And I think there's a very, very good argument. He ran the best race,
Yep.
He was wide without cover the whole way. I thought he really ran a terrific race, put away Tribute on top of the stretch. I don't want to take anything away from Gufo, and it's kind of a cool story that he won back-to-back Sword Dancers. It's just so funny with the blinkers back on that I was reminding Christophe on Sunday. He said one of the first things you said to me this year was, when I saw him when he came to New York in the spring, was, I think I made a mistake putting the blinkers on Gufo. He laughed about that. And, at least in this race, he was much closer. He really lagging a lot in his races. And once he was closer, I thought, that'll give him at least a chance to win if he can run. He did. Joel has had this incredible meet. Was he won 12 Grand Stakes?
Yes, breaking the record.
Was the record 11? Do we know for sure?
Yes. Yeah, as far as they know,
we didn't have Grand Stakes going way
exactly,
back.
Exactly.
We only had 24-day meets. We didn't run as many stakes, so I imagine it was hard. Yeah, he was good, but Mirror Mission, I hope that they don't cut him back and they run him in the Joe Hirsch. I really do, because I thought he was terrific in there.
Yeah, he was.
Why am I drawing a blank as to who's trading him now?
Ian Wilkes.
Ian.
What was interesting, you know what's funny, Eddie?
Talk to Ian about it.
Not yet, but and I haven't seen, I've only seen Ian in passing. Usually I see him and Tracy.
I've barely seen him this meeting.
Well, they've been back and forth to Kentucky. Right. But it was one of those funny situations, Eddie, where I came across more people the rest of the day and into Sunday. There were more people that seemed to have bet Mirror Mission at 18-1.
They were mostly lying.
No. These were no.
They were, but that's okay. I know everybody had and everybody had alibis at 7-1. Regardless, it was a worse. You know, it could have been used. I mean, it's not. But regardless of that, whether you thought he couldn't be used, he ran very, very well in there. It's not really about opinions. He ran terrific, and he was probably, you know, one of the better performance losers that kind of got a little overlooked. Technical Analysis and Fluffy Socks ran very well.
Yes,
I know she was a heavy favorite, but that was a fast race. You know, they beat the rest of them by 7 lengths and got a 101 buyer. She's good. You know, we'll see if she's good enough to beat the good filly Regal Glory if they run it, both run the first lady. But that was a nice race too. And then the Ballerina. I think even Philly probably surprised Chad Brown a little bit. Come back on 3 weeks rest and run as well as she did. 102 bios, fast race. And obviously, the disappointment there was CeCe. Did not put forth much of an effort, but boy, Goodnight Olive was good, huh? Was she undefeated now? She's like 6-6.
Yeah, and.
Five or six.
Well, I picked CeCe, Eddie, but I put Olive as second and as the best value type because Chad's...
Back to your picks. Back to your picks.
No,
thank God. I was hoping we'd get to your picks.
Well, no, I'm explaining the approach and what the mindset was about her.
We're talking about the approach and mindset.
Well, we are now.
We're talking about the race.
No,
we are now.
Okay.
You could do it after I'm off the phone. Discuss it.
No, I like doing this. Power. Well, with Jay Pribman retiring, I do need to have these moments where you admonish, where somebody's admonishing
without,
me.
Without Jay around on your show, there's not going to be anybody calling you out for your bullshit.
Oh, you don't do that? You're not.
I said without Jay, you know, other than me, there will only be me to call you out.
I have. It is true that I've...
I mean, is there somebody out there? You should probably put up a thing that there's like an opening for somebody to castigate you for the idiotic things you say in your show. Because it's really only me and Jay. Everybody else is way too nice.
It is true that the two of you...
I think that's going to be the biggest regret in Jay's retiring.
Well, as it happens, we've already established...
For me, at least.
Well, it's already been established that Jay will continue on the show.
You know what? I think he should have... The three of us should get together. He should have a segment, a 15-minute segment at least. Actually, he'd need more like an hour and a half. But maybe he should be on like every Monday. He should have like a list of the most ridiculous crap that you spewed over the prior week. And he can just list the preposterous things you tried to get away with over the week. And he's going to make sure you don't get fully aware. I think it would be your most popular segment. I really do.
Well, that's possible. And he... He is...
He'd be the man to do it.
He's got carte blanche. I told him.
I'll speak to him.
While he's
traveling the world.
Right? I guess it's going to be like Phineas Fogg. Yeah.
Very happy for you.
Right?
Yeah. Racing will miss him. We keep losing people that are good.
Well, and
people that aren't so good.
Well, that are, you know, people that are responsible and have a conscience and you know, that have certain standards that they... Based on the game's history, they expect
more journalists to Chris Wong.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, agreed.
What else do we have? Let's see. Anything else?
I should mention
your print day sucked because it rained.
Yeah.
There were some nice performances.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, I mean, losing the turf race was too bad. So you're all.
It was. It was too bad.
Nice races, but it's just disappointing when it rains. Big Mischief, by the way. Meanwhile, it's pretty good this year.
Yes.
And let's see what else. I can't even remember.
I'll give you one. How about the way Todd Pletcher has refashioned Wit into a turf stake winner?
Yeah, I thought he was overbet on Sunday, and he wasn't. I mean, I'm only on a way to run, but Whip ran, he got a 95 buyer. He ran, yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. See, I guess he's probably pointing the Hill Prince.
I also want to bring up another name. And second in this race was 0235. And then, of course, on Sunday as well, 25-1 winner, George Weaver, under the most difficult of circumstances for him and his staff, has had a spectacular meet.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, George, listen, George had like that 6 or 7 year stretch.
Yes.
Nick Hammer was saying that there was no trainer that has started more horses at Saratoga over that period of time. I think it started with 5 years and had two more years with a better ROI than George. And he had a couple of quiet years. But this year has been terrific. And I bet a few dollars that horse. I kind of rude not picking the horse higher, but, because he just had that look. He had that Weaver look, that horse. You know? The thing about his first race was that the horse he ran against was a Brian Lynch firster that was good, has been good in subsequent races, that won the race, and he dueled with that horse. So it wasn't as though that horse was without merit to begin with. But yeah, no, I agree. And as far as the number horse, I mean, that horse was against the track of time before against Portfolio Company. He should have got 6-1, not 19-1. And in fact, they were betting the wrong Weaver horse because, you know, people are fooled by results. And it was interesting because they were polar opposites, whereas the number horse had been outside against the gold rail. Even the two paths is real. It's a bit of a handicap. And the other horse had won setting a slow pace on a super strong rail. And not only was the race completely different, it was his last race totally phony, he had to deal with that Terranova horse who knew was going to lead the three. So he wasn't even going to make the lead. So the fact that he was 7-2 and the 9 was 19 or 18-1 is laughable because they had the wrong odds. And in fact, I mean, you know, I showed with the lunch bets, but that was a lunch bet I made with Anthony where I took the 9 over the 1.
Hmm.
And even though the odds obviously were way against me, it to me, the 1 had absolutely no chance in the race. And the 9, you know, was kind of worse to get a piece. You know, in retrospect, I probably should have made some money in the race, but I'm too stubborn and stupid to have done that.
Well, can I talk about making money on a race?
No.
Why did you just did?
No, I didn't. I just talked about a race I didn't make money on, and you brought up Weaver. You're not allowed to. You can do it with Jay.
He's not going to have a point of reference on that.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. That'll be your first ridiculous thing he calls you out on. You should wait. You should have a whole slew of them for when he retires. You know, like a special.
Oh my god!
Crap.
So funny. Well, I'll just mention one. I'm just going to mention a horse. Just
okay.
A horse.
Yeah.
Without context. Running son of a gun.
Yeah, he's a cool horse, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I know. The Toscano's claimed for $40,000. He finished third in the Jerkins. I know. He wins the cool horse 3-year-old of the year in New York. He runs in all those races. He always shows up and gets a piece. Love him. I agree. Good horse to bring up.
Cool horse
of the week.
It was wonderful. And there was a moment where it looked like he was going to be second.
It is funny. You know, it is funny. He just doesn't belong in these races, and he keeps running well. Yeah, I'm really happy for that. That's really nice. It was a great claim. He made a little over $200,000. Yeah, that's great. I agree. He is cool.
He's now been third in the Jerkins, third in the Amsterdam.
They claimed for Bill Morey?
They did.
I only had him for one race, though. I feel like Bill claimed him for somebody.
Chris Hartman. Let me tell you something.
It's not easy to claim from Chris Hartman.
It's not easy to claim from Morey or from Hartman, and the Toscanos have seen this horse. It's a gun runner.
It's great.
Unbelievable.
I'd love to see him win a race like a Gallant Bob. I don't know if he's quite good enough now the race comes up, but I'm with you. He's a great story, and I hope that he keeps running well. I'd love to see him win one of these races, you know. He's sort of fun. He really is a fun horse. Such an easy horse to root for. Very easy to root for, but it's also, he's a cool horse, yeah. It's funny, I saw him and his wife in the paddock before the race. It was nice. Really glad for them.
Bless you.
What else?
Let me think. I don't think everything else is pretty good. There was the maiden. We should
have done. I think my sentence.
No. You've got it. No, you. It came to you at 3 after, so you've got another 9 minutes. That's a contractual obligation. Not really. The
check in the mail.
And now you threw me off. Oh, the maiden, the Midnight Bisou sibling.
That horse won the first race on Saturday?
Yes, verifying.
So
verifying.
That's got a pretty good fig, right?
85.
84 or 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked good. I think the track's a little speedy, especially early. It might have helped him, but he ran. It was a Cox horse, right? I got that, yeah. I think the horse, the other horse, the filly on Sunday for Cherie. That horse got an 82 or 84. That's a good name. That was his name again.
Oh gosh, the
layout horse.
It's got a the in it.
The Big Easy.
The Great Maybe.
I love that name. I love that. It's a great name. Yeah. The Great Maybe. Right. Yeah. Horse racing. Both those horses are impressive. That horse, Jesus. I mean, that horse rushed up the duel inside the first over Chad Brown. Just buried that field.
Yep.
The Pops horse that they liked ran second. Actually, they probably ran pretty well and probably didn't have the best of trips. I have to watch it again. But Cherie's horse really ran.
Yeah, very much.
Tarabi. Where's Tarabi? You would have thought we would have seen her somewhere after that win in the Wilton.
That's a good question, and let's take a look. I haven't had Cherie on, or maybe I did, actually. I can't remember now.
I have her number if you want.
I don't have to worry about that. She texts me for looking for figs all the time.
So when she texts me looking for her, that means she doesn't get through to you? You're on the road when you're when you're at Canterbury Downs or wherever. Where's your next trip? What are the trips for Steve Bick coming up?
Are
you going to be here closing week, or are you going for the Pacific Classic?
No, I will be here closing week. I will be literally leaving after the show, probably. Kentucky Downs is correct.
You calling there this year?
No, I'm not calling there. Isn't Larry? Larry calls there, right? Larry, yeah. It will be at Kentucky Downs for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. Then we will be broadcasting from Keeneland for book one of the sale. Monday and Tuesday.
Well, nobody loves Keeneland like Steve Bick.
I'll let that one float into the ether. Then back to Kentucky Downs, and then to Churchill Downs for opening weekend.
Wow, you're like an honorary member of Kentucky.
I do have a Kentucky Colonel. Someone did make me a Kentucky Colonel a few years ago.
Well, so you just straighten things out, then.
Well, you're going to miss. There's no way you're going to be able to participate Thursday and Saturday, right? In the first 2 days of Kentucky Downs,
I haven't even looked at their entries.
It's crazy. It's
too
crazy.
Much. Too much going on here to even look.
I know. Well, I tell everybody that listens, some of the great early days of internet horseplay involved Andy Serling when Kentucky Downs, when nobody knew about it, and you would...
Yeah, but the bloom is off the rose. There was good stuff going on back then.
Oh, my God.
It's tougher now.
You would sniff out 40-1 shots. I've never seen anything like it.
I was teasing. I saw Joel on Sunday. He was out Sunday, Wednesday and Thursday for suspension. And I said, Ron was there, Anderson, and I said, Joel has that edge at Kentucky Downs. I said, he apparently is the only person that knows after the first 4 days when they take the rails down, you want to stay inside.
Ron and Nancy will be there, and
boy, it's going to be a real party.
Oh, it is so much
down
fun.
Nashville afterwards for a wild, evening.
Yes, I'm going to be hosting some bachelorette parties, Andy.
I got to tell you, they have a lot of bachelorette parties there. The Saratoga is running a close second for small towns.
You know, it's funny you say that. I've saw more this summer than I've ever collectively previously.
Yep.
That's it. That's good, actually. That's good that...
Is it?
Yeah, sure it is.
What percentage of them get a divorce?
I don't know. That's... Only you. Only you would come up with that follow-up.
Reasonable question.
Oh, my God. By the way, this is usually the point in the conversation where you thank the fans that turned out and the players that set record numbers.
It is. Why don't we do that after the show?
Well, it was quite a day. I mean, it was so much fun there Saturday, and the vibe, when you walk in and you can just feel that energy, it's really... And it doesn't happen. It's got to be organic, Andy. It isn't.
I feel it there almost every day, to be honest with you. It's a magical place. I mean, it's true. It really is. You know, to have that many people that really love the racing, and it's a reminder that there are a lot of people that love horse racing.
Correct.
They may come during Saratoga. Same people may, you know, different coasts, go to Del Mar. Some days at Santa Anita. You know, there are days here and there. And I think it's a little different in Kentucky because while Keeneland gets big crowds, it's a lot of college-centric crowd, too. Not knocking it, but a different kind of crowd. People that come to Saratoga, they've been coming for so long, and it's something they've been doing their families. You know, they probably did with their parents, you know, and it's just, it's great. And people are, unlike social media or the internet, where people behave like clowns. A lot of them, not everybody. A lot of people are nice, actually, but some are just awful. People are really nice here, and they're appreciative. I'm appreciative of them. You know, surely appreciative of the people that pay my salary, but they love racing, and it's a reminder that, you know, the 2 months at Saratoga is enough. Kind of to keep you going, you know, to remind you. And I think, you know, because of our show, I think people have obviously responded very favorably to that, which is extremely satisfying. And I think the show has, you know, you wonder what effect the show has had, the fact that we've had two straight terrific recent seasons. You know, a lot of it's weather. I mean, the biggest thing is always weather.
Yeah.
The pandemic also maybe reminded people that you want to do the things you love as much as you can. But the show as well, I think the show has, because of the pandemic partly, because people, you know, were stuck at home and watching and over the years, but I think it's probably kept them more attuned to our racing in a lot of cases, you know, more centric on our races. And I think it's had a positive effect, but I also think it's had a positive effect on the relationship between people, between the fans and us. All of us, you know, all of us on the show.
Yep.
And we're very fortunate. And we're just fortunate ones because we're the ones that get way too much credit, you know. We're kind of like, you know, we get a lot of credit. There's so many people working, you know. I mean, Friday, when it was poor, I mean, Talking Horses, if you watched it, it was pitch black. It was like day for night. And Andrew Dessel does our sound, you know. He and John Getzler are coming in, and Veronica as well, you know, wading through the water to make sure that things could get back up, and getting us back up in 10 minutes, you know, which is incredible. And then we have the Fox show right behind that. You know, these people, I said to Andrew, please don't get electrocuted trying to get Talking Horses back on. they're just examples of the people that work so hard to make it happen. But the fans are, you know, fans have been terrific, absolutely terrific. And it's so gratifying to be here. And it's such, we're very fortunate to have this reminder in Saratoga that there are people that do like what's going on around here.
Well framed.
I think we're all proud. There's a time you can be proud of what you're doing. There are times when, you know, you feel like racing is the girlfriend that nobody likes. Or in my case, the boyfriend that nobody likes. Me being the boyfriend. Most of my girlfriend's parents like me.
That's so funny.
I'd like to think that.
So funny. Jesus. All right. Here's your big close. You got to give us a with anticipation and PG Johnson opinion.
No, I don't.
Come on!
I'm in my mom's house, and all my PPs are in my apartment. Well, I mean, I hope that the stake on Wednesday stays on. So let's get some rain overnight.
Just a little bit.
Not really, but actually, no. It's a really good race, though. To be honest, I'm not sure. I think I picked the AE if he gets in, the 11.
Determinedly for Cassie. Yeah, for Cassie right.
And I think that with anticipation is Idea Generation or is it the Carrasio de Paz horse? My horse Mike Ryan owns? By 5 and 6.
Be Your Best, the Mike Ryan. Your Best. Yes.
Yeah, it seems to be then the two, probably the two in there.
Yeah.
The Prioress Camp, very strong race. Was it Friday this year? Really good race.
You know what? I printed this morning and have not.
That's really big of you. I finished it this morning.
Well, that's your psychosis that is.
Yeah, right. Because I have a psychosis to be ready so that when we draw these interminable cards, I can be prepared. My psychosis to be prepared at least does not embarrass me to speak. Anytime I can get through serotonin without embarrassing myself, I'm more than delighted.
Well, you distinguishing yourself, and that's been from the bell.
So far. There's still 6 days left.
What do you think? That Union Lake on the outside for Terra Nova?
Steve, you just printed the PPs. We're not discussing the race.
No, I'm just asking what you came up with. Brad Cox?
No, but I think what you should probably do is maybe in the next 10 minutes figure it out, then call Privman and go through the race.
You're such an asshole. That's unbelievable. Speaking,
I think that for Jay's final appearance, you know, his final, like, rookie appearance, you should be even worse than normal. Just really give him a lot of fodder to torture him. Because it's not going to be fair to me.
Listen.
When he goes, it's only going to be me. And I don't think that's right. DJ.
I don't even know what the fodder is. Sometimes he does it. I get him.
No. you suggest that Jay or I are sort of, you know, guilty and without, you know, any being prodded into it is completely ridiculous.
I love. Here's a little inside baseball for everybody. Whenever there's been one of those incidents, more with Jay than with you.
They're playing with me. No, yeah, Jay feels though he has the upper hand.
Well, no, but there's a response that is always very funny, which is when I get a text from you that says, "I understand you misbehaved with Jay."
that's true. Who's the poor, unfortunate final guest on your show today?
Well, I've been trying to line up John Toscano, I think we may have him. I'm not sure because he's not responding. He's the greatest, and I'm hoping that John is able to join us. We're gonna. He has seen my texts. That I know.
If not, you can use the remaining part of the show to redboard winners that you may or may not have had. On that note, I'm gonna go.
Andy Serling, everybody, and we'll talk next week with Andy. Look at that. He didn't even let me close out and remind. See, he missed a big opportunity here because he missed out on the push for Andy Beyer. He didn't. He's so excited about Andy coming up Saturday that he didn't. He didn't even let me provide a push. Oh my God, that was funny. He's so funny. All right, let's try John and see if I can't get him on the show. It's been forever since John's been on. So let's see if he picks up and we can. Hey, John. hold on, John. Let me, here we go. John Toscano is joining us on the heels of another board hit, this time in the Grade 1 Jerkins. And, John, so tickled for you. Well done.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Steve. Yeah, we got lucky. That's just a great claim.
It obviously, it's more than that, John, because he's gotten better in your care.
Yeah, that's for sure. But we're having some fun with him, and the bad part of it all is the owner recently died.
Yeah.
I claimed it for the gentleman back in New Year's Eve, and 2 months ago he passed away, at least COVID.
Oh,
so he never
God.
Really got a chance to enjoy the show.
Oh, gosh. And that's funny.
His wife's going to enjoy it, that I can tell you.
Well, the wife, we understand the wife, Karen, they're from Merrick on the island, and our friend Steve Carlin knows them very well, and he sent me a note, too, that Scott passed 2 months ago.
Right. It's unfortunate, but what can we do? That's life.
Talk about identifying this horse, and Bill Morey had taken the horse from Chris Hartman. You know, these are very tough guys to claim from, John, and yet look at what's gone on here.
Yeah, well, I watched his free play when the first time they ran him in Churchill. He ran third. I said, he's quite gun runner. I just call it looks like he might have a little future. So when they ran him back for the 40, he jumped in, and I got lucky enough to win the shake.
How many in the shake?
He's been really good to us ever since.
How many were in on the shake?
I think there were two or three in that day.
Unbelievable.
And I was fortunate enough to win the shake.
What exactly, in terms of evaluation and going over the horse, he had run a 75 buyer. You obviously protected him immediately, but he turns right around and he wins an optional claimer.
Exactly. I never ran him for a tag after that. I put him in the starter and all allowance race and stakes. We thought the answer was value. Being by Gunrunner, who was an outstanding stallion. His first crop is amazing.
Yep.
How many good horses he's got. So we jumped in the barrel. Let's take him. I mean, they only paid $16,000 for an auction. I couldn't believe that.
No, that was at Keeneland. That was at Keeneland January as a short yearling. No, actually, that was as a two-year-old. Was that a... What sale was that? That was like
It might have been a Keeneland September.
No, it was January, Keeneland January. So he was it was some sort of maybe a dispersal or a.
Right, it might have been just turning yelling.
It was like a horse of racing age addendum or something.
Yeah, and Dad Stables was the breeder, never raced in New York. So I'm surprised that they let him go so cheap.
Unbelievable. He's now placed, for those that didn't notice, he's now placed in the Dwyer, the Amsterdam, and the Jerkins.
I told the wife, I said, you got your own ATM machine with this guy.
Well, and to be honest, Andy wouldn't let me tell the story, but on Saturday, John. I'll send you a copy of what I wrote. I'll email you. And I wrote that Running Son of a Gun is a good candidate to hit the board here at a huge price. And I ended up doing a reverse tri-key with him and putting him third with Jack Christopher first and everybody else second. So the try paid $40 for every 50 cents, and it was an absolute one of the better results of the day. I mean 41-1. I think that price is going to start to come down. What are you going to do next?
Why was he 40-1? That I couldn't understand.
I don't get it either. I mean
he come in at gunite, beat him 4 lengths at the Amsterdam.
Yep.
And, all right, make him 12-1, 13-1, 40-1? That's insane.
Well,
that's the public, what are you going to do?
Well, and looking at some other figures in the race, for those that are sheet figure users, his numbers were better than, he was faster than Happy Jack. Happy Jack went off at 18-1.
Yeah, he had a lot better numbers than a few of them there, but. As I said, that's racing. That's how the game goes.
What, John, do you, Andy Serling mentioned maybe you would consider the Gallon Bob down at Parks in September?
Yeah, I think that's going to be his next spot.
Excellent.
Unless it gets too tough. I'm trying to get an easy spot for him so he can get a win on his belt and get his confidence back, That's what he needs. A win that will put him to the top. Hopefully the Gallon Bob will be the right spot for him.
Well, and certainly...
If not, I'll make go number two at Aqueduct with him.
There you go.
That might get the job done.
Well,
but he's got a lot of talent, and hopefully he stays sound. We'll have some fun.
What kind of horse is he to be around, John?
Oh, he's a sweetheart. He's a good feeling colt, though. You got to be careful. You get him on a ring, he'll go rear up and try to, you know. But he's very playful. But and he trains unbelievable. He's black type every time he works. It's amazing.
Well, no one should be surprised of a horse with talent in your hands that you're gonna extract some results.
I appreciate that, Steve. Thank you.
Not at all, John Toscano, everybody, and the Toscano family on this racetrack, the New York circuit, for years and years. John, I really haven't seen you this summer. Hopefully, we'll see you to close out the week. You got any more to run?
I might be up there to close the weekend.
Oh, good.
I'm at Belmont right now, but I got some watch up at Saratoga, and might come up. I'll look you up when I get there.
Very good. John Toscano, everybody, and running son of a gun with an absolute corker of an effort to be third now in his third straight graded stake, the Dwyer, the Amsterdam, and the Jerkins, and we'll see him in Philadelphia. I love that. I'm so glad we got a chance to get John on here. The Toscano family, and, of course, his son, who was a jock, and the Carolyn, the whole family, they're an institution. In fact, the Toscanos sort of have, they were the forerunners before the Engelharts and I suppose Bruce Brown, the Browns as well, with, you know, where there'd be like a mass of children. You know, like this family entourage around the racing office, or, you know, in the grandstand, or the paddock, and the Toscanos. They were among the first. Obviously, the Kellys. The Kellys are the first family of of racetrack families, right? So that's great. I'm so glad we got John. All right, let's get to Papo and close out the morning. This has been all I could have asked and more, including Andy down there giving me the business. But I do see Jay on Twitter. Jay has confirmed that he will stay on as a featured guest for years to come, when he's not traveling the world, I suppose. I think Papo is standing by, if I'm not mistaken. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. It's been a fun morning, and we got 15 to spend with you. How was your Travers?
It was good. It was the weekend got off, started a good start on Friday. I had a friend that broke a Saratoga maiden in ownership, so I was happy for him and his team. And then I carried on to Travers Day, and races were pretty formful, but I mean they were solid performances all the way around, Steve. I tried to go searching for some prices with a couple horses, but wasn't successful. But Born to Win, it didn't really matter how you ran them. It had the winners and a couple of nice exactas. Now they didn't return as much as I'd like, but no complaints here, Steve.
Nice. Who would go back to your friend that got a win? Who won on Friday?
Oh, it was in the nightcap and that off the turf. It was a maiden climbing race horse by the name of Slow Decision.
Oh, yeah.
For Peter Walder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Horse is bred for dirt by overanalyzed. But he's a small ownership group, and I think they've got four or five horses. But he was super excited. So, and I was excited for him. You know, you get a win up at Saratoga. He wasn't there. He's actually in Mexico at the time, but he was watching the race on his phone, and he was excited, and he's put a lot of money into the game, so I'm happy to see him get that win.
Well, and that there's anybody that's doing that making an effort deserves those moments, so that is great. And Peter partnered in this. This is with Royal Bamboo Racing and EKB Stables.
Yep, that's them.
Yeah, that was that slow decision.
They're a good group. They got another one that they're trying to get in now with Joe Sharp that they're going to try to get in at Kentucky Downs. They didn't get in for the first day, so they're going to try again for next week because, you know, all those races are overprescribed. So some exciting times all the way around, Steve. And the app continues to do well. In fact, the one race I did want to talk about was the Purcell Ensign. Just based off your conversation with Todd last week, I went back and I took Malathat's race out of the calculation and then reran the numbers. And then she was listed in the top two no matter what way you ran it. So
wow.
I went with her thinking that she would be the higher price of her in search results because they were 1-2 on form to win. They ended up going off about the same in terms of odds. But yeah, good performance. Good to see her bounce back. I had a couple friends that are big fans of hers, and they were texting me, and they were excited. So it's good to see her get back on track. And search results ran a solid race. So yeah, and then Epicenter, you know, that was the wow performance. Now he'll get some time off and train up to the Breeders' Cup, which looks like it's going to be a solid race. And I'm a little interested to see where Tave is going to resurface. I noticed he had 2 6 furlong drills in the past 10 days, so. Excited to see his next race also.
Should also mention, going back to Saturday's cutouts, Gufo was the second tab on form to win, too.
Yeah, Gufo. And, you know, I think he went off as the third choice, so not really a price, but you could add the winner either way. So, continues to do well. And then on Sunday in that Ballerina, I mean, if you just went by average and best, Goodnight Olive is either first or second. And Caramel Swirl, who was in the exact 7 of 10, was very usable in the second spot. So that returned a nice exact as well.
In anticipation of Thursday, this will be an interesting scenario. And I cannot remember back right now, top of my head anyway. Maybe if we did some search on our Twitter feeds, actually, Papo, is your old feed even accessible, or is it gone forever?
Oh, no, that stuff's gone. When you get off, it tanks everything, apparently.
Hmm.
But if you're speaking of Kentucky Downs, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, we did last year, how I built the filters was, so since the course there is not a straight course and it's more of an endurance course, I upped everything. So if the race is at a mile, I would set my filters at a mile and a 16th. The race was at 6 furlongs. I set it at 6.5 or 7. So I like the angle there is the cutback for the horses. Of course, you know, some of these races are going to have, they're going to be maiden, so you're not going to have huge data sets to go on. But for some of those stakes races, just extend it out an extra half a full furlong, and that was a positive angle that we used last year.
Well, and looking at Thursday, Hammer actually, and he'll be with us tomorrow to do the advance, and then Marty will be with us on Friday, and then we'll be broadcasting from there. Potentially, depending on how fast I can make the 14-hour drive. My guess is that it'll take me 14 hours because it's a 14-hour drive. But there's degrees of how fast you make a 14-hour drive. So there's a chance I get there for Tuesday, but I think that's a long shot. I think it's much more likely I'll be there for Wednesday, what would that be, the 7th. So looking at the card, these fields, Papo, are murder. And the good news is, at least when it comes to those maiden races, I think that they're standalone races where you're going to be doing pedigree work. The multis are going to be very difficult, I think, to be, you know, trying to, you know, the early half of the card, for instance. You know, we've got the two-year-old fillies that open things. Then there's the boys going a mile in the fourth race. Later on, though, when you start looking at the late pick five, races 6 through 10, you know, starter allowance with 9, 12 in the straight allowance, 12 in the first level allowance, then the Tappet, the stake going a mile and 70 with 10, including In Love, Paulo Lobo, and of course last year a big winner, and it looks like Paulo, you know, maybe you know, kind of dialing him back a little bit. It doesn't seem like he's the same horse this year. And then a maiden special weight that has form, three and ups, to close out the pick five. So it feels like if you're going to go after multis, it's the second half of the card.
Yeah, and on the multi, Steve, I've learned to, I actually back down on those races. So
pick threes.
Pick three is about as far out as I'll go in the doubles.
Yep.
Yeah, because I've played it too many times over the last couple of years where you'll hit a nice price in one of the legs and then you got to go two more and you don't get rewarded for that. So I stick with the pick threes and maybe, you know, up the dollar amount instead of the 50 cent minimum. But that's the way to have success at that time. Because you do get some, I don't want to call them unlikely horses, but some horses that They're obscure.
Yes.
When the first time you're running through.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, one of the things we'll certainly do is we'll go through the connections that seem to be pointed for this meet. That, I mean, there was a period where Maker and Sharp and Ken Ramsey were, I mean, they were terrors. That obviously has diminished, but Maker still very prominent. Rusty Arnold has got to be looked at 2-3 times. Al Stahl, we've had that conversation with. So don't be afraid to take a few minutes and go back to last year. I mean, it's only, you know, there's only six cards. So pull up the charts from, you know, the last couple of seasons and look for, you know, certain repeaters and certain themes, and obviously look for horses that broke their maiden and are now coming back. You know, this is a very different animal, and as a result, if you want to talk horses for courses, this is like the down, for those of you that like the downhill course at Santa Anita, this is racing for you, because this is basically a downhill course with an uphill stretch.
Yeah, and if you're there live in person and your horse is in front, depending on where you're standing on the rail, don't get too excited. I've learned from personal experience, when you think the race is over, it's not officially over yet. And I think some of the jocks sometimes have had some issues judging that line as well. But I hope to get down there. We'll see. I've got a bit of travel coming up here soon, so hope I can get down there at least for one day.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Hope we can see you down there. And I'll be on hand for the last 4 days of it. And then we're also going to go. I saw John Sakura on Saturday. We're going, as suggested, we'll be doing a show at Hillendale. We'll be at Keeneland. It's going to be, should be fun. And then Churchill on the back end of the first couple of weeks, really, at Kentucky for September. Anything today? You got a play today at all?
I didn't look at anything today. I started to look at that With Anticipation Stakes tomorrow at Saratoga, and it's limited data sets. You have a lot of horses stretching out, but I just ran the filter for horses that had done at least a mile on the turf course, and I landed on the 8, Bechez for Jorge Abreu. Broke his maiden last time out going the distance, and you know, limited starts, and you got horses stretching out. But at 5-1, I'd be interested in that horse.
Well, and Larry Goichman, the Goichmans have had a fabulous season at Saratoga, so it would not, it would actually close out for the most part a great meet for one of New York's longtime stalwart owners. Papo Morales, everybody, here on the Tuesday AmWager at the Races. For him to win, get over to AmWager. It's free. AmWager user, terrific offer, $300 match for your deposit, and the most popular interface in the ADW game. Papo, I appreciate it, and need you on Friday, though. We couldn't get you ahead for Travers, so we need the big weekend closeout visit on Friday. Big season.
Yeah, I'll be available, Steve. I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, buddy. Papo Morales, and there's the big show for... I never call this the big show. What was that? was it Sports Center? Jesus. Ridiculous. Andy's right. Andy and Jay are right. This was fun. It's always fun. If you're out to get the honey, don't go killing all the bees. That's good advice. thanks to everybody that cycled through. That included Papo just now, John Toscano, running son of a gun, Andy Serling, Danny Mulvihill with the Cody's Wish story, DRF Grenig, the Cannon Shell, Chuck Simon, and Dave Duggan, who doesn't deserve to have to have drafted, disqualified. Replay tomorrow. Talk to you live from Saratoga. Closing week.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred Horse Racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution.